any time people try to throw praise on Paul, he rebuked it. I mean, a passage I used the other week, and I've put on in our room, to in our office, to kind of keep certainly me humble, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything but only God who makes things grow. Yes, Paul touched the cloth, but it was God who did the miracles. And he knew that. So that's why he was the perfect one for this to happen through, because he was already living a life of worship. He was fully surrendered, fully in awe of God. He lived a life of worship. And in fact, actually, as I'm watching that membership, which is great that people are coming to membership, I think, you know, we could probably keep it even simpler than the words that are in that manual. In Romans chapter 12, Paul himself gives these instructions for us. And I was thinking, man, maybe if this was just our wording for membership. He says in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That was Paul's life right there, of living a life of sacrifice, of worship. And I'm thinking, man, how cool that would be if you have people lining up and saying, hey, to be a member of this church, are you willing to live a life of sacrifice? Are you willing to live a life of worship? Because that's what we're called to do, ultimately. You see, Paul didn't worry about the logistics of how to bless all the people in far-off areas who were demanding to be blessed. He allowed the Holy Spirit to do that. Paul's calling was to the Gentiles. Paul's calling was to go around churches. Paul's calling was to teach. And so he just focused on what he was called to do. Paul's calling is like ours, is to live a life of worship. And he just focused on that and was like, okay, God, you take care of the rest. You take care of the miracles. You do that. You do the growing. I'll plant, I'll seed, I'll water what you call me to do, but you do the growing. You take the glory. And I think, you know, if we just focus on what we're called to do as individuals and as a church, which is to live a life of worship, is to love God with all our hearts, our body, our mind, to love others, to serve God, to flee from sin. If we just focus on what God has just given us instructions to do and go, okay, God, the other stuff, we're going to let you deal with. We're going to let you do the miracles, because only you could do that. We just focus on going, God, I just need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. I just need to spend time in stillness. And I just need to wait and rest in you, to you to work, you to move me. Here's another example. I'm bringing it to Christmas here. Ready? Mary and Joseph. You've heard of those. That's good. And so here they are knocking on innkeeper door after innkeeper door. They'd been called to bring Jesus into the world, to be mom and dad. That's what God had called them to do. But of course, leading up to the birth, they're probably getting a little nervous. I mean, they're trying to find a place to give birth. I mean, I'll be honest, if I was an innkeeper and a heavily pregnant woman came in and I'm like, oh, I have to clean those sheets, I don't know, maybe I may close the door too, I don't know. But anyway, but they're trying to find a place. They're out of town. This is a whole new situation. Probably getting a little nervous. Joseph, you know, he's a dude, he's a dad. He's like, okay, I'll fix this. I'm going to get this sorted, you know. And he's probably pounding on doors and going, okay, listen up. My soon-to-be wife, it's not my child, don't worry, this is God's child, she's going to give birth, please, can we have a place to stay? Door after door, slammed and slammed. They wouldn't be probably far off in thinking, oh man, all the inns are closed, are we really in God's favor? are weary. It doesn't feel it right now. And they probably feel fairly similar to these Jews right now, beaten up. You're going, okay, God, we're pregnant, we're about to have your child, and she's probably going through labor pains right now. I mean, it's really close to the moment, and all the doors are closing. They're probably not going, oh man, this is so cool. This is so awesome. No, they're probably freaking out. But they got to focus on what they're going to do. I mean, let's face it. It's not as if when the innkeeper said no, that they turned to each other and go, well, at least we tried. Let's come back next year. Right? I mean, they're going to have a baby. No, nothing's going to stop that. Meanwhile, God is orchestrating the greatest choir of all time to go down to these shepherds on a hill somewhere and say, guess what, boys? There's a party starting in just a few minutes' time. Head on over there, then you'll find a baby wrapped in a manger. See, God had this. He knew exactly what was going on. And so, for Mary and Joseph, just think of the blessing. And once they had Jesus and he's there lying in a manger, and they're looking at each other going, oh, man, good thing there was that manger there. I mean, wow. And these shepherds come on by and they tell them that this awesome choir of angels just been singing to them and telling and proclaiming that this baby is a savior. And they're looking at each other going, are you kidding me? And these shepherds get so excited that the scripture says that once they left, that they went and they told everyone nearby. And everyone nearby who heard it were amazed. Who would have been nearby? The innkeepers. No doubt about it. They would have been one of the first people. I mean, they probably would have heard it and been poking their head out the door going, what on earth is that going on? You know, but they would have soon found out what had been going on. You know, in your life, you may have had a few spiritual doors closed in your face. Maybe when you accepted Jesus and you're filled by the Holy Spirit and you felt God had called you to do something, or maybe just you're just so excited about who Jesus is, and especially this time of the year, and you're trying to tell people the reason for the season and all that kind of stuff, and you get those doors slammed in your face. People say, no, not here. No, I don't want to hear that. You can come into my home, but don't talk about your silly religion. Or whatever that might be. You may have felt like those Jews beating up and going, God, I don't really feel in favor right now. But maybe those doors that were closed in your face weren't for you to knock down anyway. Maybe that was for God to do the miracle. Just like Mary and Joseph pounding on those doors saying, okay, we're here, and those doors are closed. Maybe it wasn't for them to open anyway. Maybe it was for later on the shepherds to knock on those doors and say, guess what just happened? It's so easy for us to feel defeated, to feel that, oh, I tried once with my loved ones, with my kids, my parents, my neighbors, whoever, or this ministry or that ministry, and just those doors closed after closed. But I think we're trying to work out the logistics. We're trying to work out the miracles when really that's not our job. Our job is to live a life of worship and to focus on living a life of worship and allow God to open the doors that he wants us to open or to go through. Allow God to do the miracles. Allow God to be doing the miracles through the cloths. Allow God to do the healings. He's just called us to pray. Allow God to do the growing and the conversions. He's just told us to tell the good news. He's just told us to teach. I think we got to just remember our role, and our role is to live a life of worship. And when we are consumed by the Holy Spirit, that means we have to be intentional in knowing God, in listening to him, in worshiping, in praising. When we're allowing ourselves to be filled by him, then like Mary and Joseph, they couldn't go back and come back another year. They had to give birth. I think we have nothing else to do but worship. In fact, Scripture says creation is to worship. Jesus says that if we do not praise, the rocks will cry out. I think if we just allow ourselves just to be filled by the Holy Spirit, remind ourselves of what God has done and is doing in our lives, allow him to do the growing, and then we get to see him do the miracles, whether it be through us, through others, whatever. It's for God's glory. So don't listen to the lies of Satan when maybe you've tried talking to someone and didn't go the way you hoped. Continue to live that life of worship. Live in a life example. Allow God to do the workings. We live in a society that often people say, oh, don't talk about Christmas, talk about winter holidays or whatever rubbish they call it. And we make, okay, we'll follow that. Or maybe what we go is, no, we're going to live a life of worship. I'm going to praise the fact that this is a time that we celebrate that love came down into the messiness of this world, and this world needs Jesus. So we're going to just live a life of worship and allow him to knock down those doors. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, that we can just come before you and just worship you. Live a life of worship. Surrender. I mean, whatever it may be in our life that we're putting before you, God, just Holy Spirit, just reveal that to us so we can drop that. So we can lift up our hands and worship you, or God who came into our lives, just radically changed, transformed, gave us hope, gave us joy, gave us love. And God, we just want to live a life of responding to you. That's what Paul did, just lived a life of responding, and allow you to do the rest. Allow you to do the miracles. Allow you to do the growing. Humble us, God, and remind us that we're just to be obedient children. Set our eyes on you, Father. And for those who may be in ministry and life, or and just talk with people, feel that those doors keep getting closed, and maybe are just starting to listening to voices that are saying, no, not in favor. To reject those voices, to go, no, I'm a child of God. I'm just going to continue praise and worship, and I'm going to allow you to work out the logistics, you to work out the futures, because we're in your hands. And I just want to spend time in your presence. And when I spend time in your presence, then my heart cannot do anything but praise. And so I pray this over each person here and over us as a church, that we be a people that just live a life of worship, surrendering to you, of love to you and to others.